This is a continuation of September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board, we have two parcels owned by Stephen and Cindy Barinski. Let's see, first we've got petition number 18110801 for account 651-42000, and next is 18141101 for account number 651-40000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Steve Barinski in attendance by teleconference. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear your testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Well, I guess I'll address the the first property, East Jones Street. That's the 651-40000.
507 East Jones. Okay, that's yeah. That's the appeal number 1411.
Yep. That's the second one I read into the record.
Okay, got it. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
This property was, the assessor and I agreed to a value of $165,000 2 years ago. And this was going to the state board. And the morning of that hearing, the state board informed me by email that the assessor office hadn't responded, and it led me to the impression that the hearing was on, that they would just rule based on my evidence. Well, turned out that the assessor showed up unannounced, and I wasn't there, and so I believe the value went back up from what I was appealing with the state, but we had agreed to a $165,000 figure 2 years ago, and now that figure's up to $212,995, and we're just not seeing that level of appreciation in real estate in the actual area. And that's what that facts intrinsic report is all about. A couple of the comparables I have show that pretty comparable properties are still valued at less. I don't know why mine's accelerating, because it happens to be the oldest building in Yackel. Nobody even knows how old it is, and the assessor's got some number, and I asked him to give me some kind of an evidence or proof of the age, but they can't. It's just they have to put something there, and I believe the house is probably built in about 1903, maybe 1901, and it hasn't been updated. There's no reason to incur these kind of value changes for a house that was built over 100 years or 120 years ago. But, you know, again, comparing it to other properties, other like properties, I'm seeing their value is less. And I believe that, you know, that facts and truths report that I provided has empty values. Was up about 8%, which was with the market overall was 9%.
You're fading away.
Pardon me?
You were fading away. You must be talking away from the speaker.
Well, I may not be able to look at the report and talk at the same time, because I've got to go to a different side of the house. It's the nature of Verizon nowadays. How's that? Is that any better?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm facing you now. So that's basically where I'm at. And I just feel like these assessments are a bit overpaced. And are very difficult to find comparables because there isn't many houses out there that are that age. I think within the town of Yackel, I believe there's only like three, including one appealing.
When you submit your comparables, you need to give us the details on it, because all you've done is give us a price. We have no idea what that property is.
Details as far as
the comparable property. I mean, you've listed two comparable properties, and
right.
You just listed the land size and the sale price, but we have no idea what's on that property or how old it is or anything else.
Well, they were, I guess I must have made an incorrect assumption, because they were comparable properties. The 210 South Manchester is about the same. Same size lot, same size, basically same age of home.
You look at first one.
It's sold in 04.
2018
to 2019. Right, it's the second one.
The second one. I mean, I wouldn't compare my property to a vacant lot.
.39.
Go up and see what.
248 and 19.
Go up
further. 210.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounded like I may have lost part of the connection.
But also, I guess, if the other part of the probably an address because it's number 2 1 Eastern Street. The lot size is twice the size of the lot size that I have. The sale price was $210,000. It's a pretty comparable house, but then since that time, it's, of course, this is irrelevant, but since that time, it's been improved upon.
Yeah,
it's
sold for
$248,000. I'm not sure. It's 107 West Jones Street. I guess I'd have to look at that. It may be a waste of our time to talk about that if there isn't enough evidence and appeal to look at that.
Okay, go ahead to the next one. I think we understand that one.
And the next one is a manufactured home. I believe it's 22 years old.
We can't hear you.
Let me see if I can move to the other side of the house again. Yeah, I believe, if my memory serves me right, the manufactured home is 22 years old, and it's appreciating at a rate that's just not consistent with manufactured homes. Manufactured homes in the industry just don't appreciate. And I provide a picture of some of the issues that would happen. I mean, this is not a stick-built home that was built with sheathing and underlayment and siding. You know, this house has siding that's made out of cardboard, and some of the pictures I provided show how it's deteriorating. Some of the rates that I'm getting to re-side this house can range from $8 to $10 per foot. So you're looking at 2,400 square foot house, probably somewhere in $18,000 to $24,000. When you re-site a house, oftentimes you have to reset windows. It's a huge project, and you know, I've been able to take care of some of those and patch different places, but overall, it's not appreciating in value. You know, the siding is actually taken away from its value at this point. So I just feel again that those appreciative figures are not taken into consideration what the home is, the age of the home, and if anything, it should be declining at a rate of about 10% per year for the next 8 years. But that's what manufactured homes do.
One of the comps.
And manufactured homes that get to be as old as, you know, the 70s can't even be financed.
It's the first one.
Eventually, this will move into that realm because what it is.
18 is 256.
Got it sold three times.
Mm-hmm.
18.
It's the same price. 256, 256. Oh, yeah, that one's I see. Deed of trust and then special warranty, then deed of trust.
And also there in the comments, the property is being tied as though the lot is much larger than it really is. So,
I don't have any more questions.
I think we got it.
Okay. Yeah, I've got several examples there too within the documentary evidence that show that these prices are more realistic to what we have. What the assessor's office is claiming it's appreciating too.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah. No, I don't have any questions on it.
Okay, I think we have the picture.
All right, well, yeah, I guess in closing, the overall picture is not seeing 30 and 40% increases in real estate values in Yakima. It's just not happening anywhere. Maybe in South Park County, but not yet. So with that, I guess I'll hear from you.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Close here.
Bye.
Bye.
This is a continuation of the September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization for the board's property owned by Kevin and Barbara Coughlin. Petition 18116508 for account number 63472846. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. No questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close here.
This is a continuation of the September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization for the board's property owned by Jennifer Damon. Petition 18141801 for account number 18822020. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a continuation of the September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Milton and Jean Frank. Petition 18091801 for account 218257000. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision on the multitude of information available to us. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the
This is a continuation of the September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by Roy and Gloria Garrison Trust. This is two petitions, 18141501 for account 215836000 and petition 18141601 for account 215849000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Roy Garrison in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Just to let you know or remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like your decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Well, looks like we've got a somewhat new board here. So I was here a year ago and appealing for the same reasons that I did a year ago. And it, I'm in the Ridgefield area. There's a lot of development occurring around me. This is part of the old home place where I was raised, and consequently over the years as deaths occurred in the family, some of it's passed on, other people bought it and whatnot, so but there's development occurring around me. The problem that I have with the assessor process is that they have assessed this as same as adjacent property to the right. Yeah, there you got my parcels there, the two parcels there. And they've got houses on this side they're developing now. They developed some on the, to the left there.
Mr. Garrison, here's a little pointer if you want. Just push the button.
Oh man, I probably that's a little beyond my need. Okay, that's one of the parcels, and that one there is the other. And anyhow, why it's bare land, and I've been trying to keep the weeds down on the sucker. You can't. There's over the past, well, for years, I've been involved with that property since 1949-50, and. They're assessing it like it was developable with houses already or lots ready to go. The problem that I have, and they're assessing it at the value that they placed on these properties here and those properties there, as if it was already ready to develop and everything. Being this all started a year ago and all, I will developer come along that's doing a project on the right, and he says, hey, he says, and it was, he came within 2 weeks after I was here for my hearing last year, and I decided, you know, son of gun, there's no need to try to hang on to this, you know, there's sentimental value a little bit, but the assessor is assessing it at that. I have an arrangement with a developer that started in October last year, and he will buy the property if he can get approval from the city to do what has occurred on the others. It's possibly could occur in February this next year. It takes about 16 to 18 months to walk through all of the various steps that occurs to get so you can build have buildable lots. And I'm not beating around the bush about it. That's just the way it is. And this, and it's the earliest this, they have not had any hearings before the Planning Commission yet. They have not had any hearings before the City Council yet for approval for the development of the property. There had was one hearing in about February it was for what they call a pre-app hearing, and then they jumped through all of the steps of that, and I attended some of them, and then the lots that they wanted to do, the city says no. And the rules changed in April of this year at the city of Ridgefield. It was to be low density. Now it's medium density or moderate density because they changed the rules in April because they've started building a lot of apartments out around, if you've been to Ridgefield, around the roundabout, the 45th Street roundabout where the grocery store is going to go. So they said they don't want any more low density, that they've got this situation with the apartments that'll make meet the density balance of the state requirements for growth management. So they've now, instead of having the number of lots this outfit was wanting, they reduced it by 8, so consequently he even adjusted the price down if he wrote an amendment, if we still wanted to continue, you know. And it's nowhere as near the price that the damn assessors have, excuse me.
That's
but,
okay.
But the assessor has established for this property.
See what it's yes. See what the zoning is on it.
Low density.
Rural low density. Here.
So that means they build individual homes, maybe on your property.
Would they?
Yeah.
That's the intent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's 5 acres and it's four properties per acre. So it's quarter acre.
And you've got about 10 acres there, okay.
Yeah.
You know, they want to, things have changed.
Who's who owns that other sliver on the other side of you?
That
one.
That's his.
Oh, that's his? Okay.
No.
That's Bleth.
Okay.
Bleth. And she is a daughter.
Oh.
We had 70 acres in there from 1949. And over the years, when Mom died, Dad died, everything, he wound up giving us all 5-acre tracts of the family. And then I bought one of my sisters out. And that's why I have acquired. And the daughter wanted in about 1997 or so, she wanted to move back to Ridgefield area and have her kids go to school there. And so I give her 5 acres and continue. And this is the situation. I ain't going to beat around the bush with you guys. The whole sale of this is contingent that they take all 3 parcels.
Right.
When
she doesn't have a house on it now.
She lives there. Yes, she currently lives there. She's not appealing hers this year. I mean for the 2018 because it didn't affect that. But she, I'll lay her out here straight. We're both appealing the 2019 because we'll be here next year. You know, and she'll be here also.
So no money has changed hands yet.
We have the possibility that there will be some, they put money in what they call escrow. And that in the end of October, I think it's the 5th of November, some of that money will go hard. If they back out, we get few dollars, you know, and that was the situation. I give them a 1-year chance to get it through the city, and they said, well, they don't think they can do it. So I said, well, you're tying me up for a year, daggone it. I want something that at the end of the year is going to be good. Mm-hmm. And so I've got the opportunity to get a little bit of money out of it for having it tied up. Then they, like I say, they haven't had any hearings yet before the Planning Commission or the City Council in Ridgefield. And I attend the meetings down there. I'm kind of an ornery sucker, so I go down and raise heck with them once in a while, too. But it appears right now, from what we understand, and I've been in contact. Well, my daughter is in contact with a guy by the name of Joe Mello, which you probably have all heard of Joe. He's anyway, but they went to high school together out there. So anyway, she's in contact with Joe. And he says it's probably going to be likely February before they ever get it, because they have the right to an extension, and they have to give us another, I think, $3,000 or $5,000 a month, every month, that they're going to lose if they don't follow through. So we don't know whether this is even, if they're going to take it on through until come November.
So they're taking the entire 15 acres.
They'll be taking the 15 acres at the time for development, which will close up. That'll all be houses in.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because both them lots where the houses are, that was all the original farm. You know.
So why the difference in your idea of the value for them? They appear to be pretty much the same. Is one of them steeper, more wetland, or less acreage, or something?
On the one that has the lesser value, mm-hmm. it only has a few acres that I consider developable.
Okay.
The other one has
more
of it that's developable. The reason that this was attractive to the developer, Ridgefield requires 25% of all development that occurs on these properties, 25% of it has to be left in open space.
Au naturel.
Huh?
Au naturel.
Yeah, all on that trail. Yeah, you got it. But anyhow, and this, with the 15 acres, I think there's about 27% of that. It makes it attractive because, and they thought it was going to work out if they could get the low density, but now they've gone to this change they did here in April. Boy, it won't
so be you've signed an escrow agreement with them for a price, and you have some penalties in it that if they don't close it within a certain time, they have to pay you some money.
Yes. The price is reduced from what we originally signed. There's been an addendum, you know, and so, but the price, even if it's reduced to, is not the same price that the assessors assess me for the particular year of 18. We signed this at the end of 18. You know, I put some figures on there that I thought was fair, and your records, I don't know if your records probably show it somewhere, but you reduced it considerable when I was here a year ago, and I took the figures that I had, I added a percentage, what I thought that I was able to figure out from where some other properties that I have, that they was increasing property, because I have a little chunk of property up at Amboy, and I have the house where I live, and I took that percentage and add to the figures that I, and that's how I arrived at the figures where I'm at now.
So you took the values that we gave you last year?
No, not the values that you give me.
Okay.
Oh, no, the values you give me. I was tickled. My wife was really tickled.
Oh, we were too generous.
No, I think you was, because I had, yeah. I got the order here. You know, I don't know whether you want to see it or not. If you do, I have it here. You guys, I've got to have another page here. This thing on paperwork kills an old man. You took the properties. I figured that the values on the one was, let's see, how in the heck, 183. I'm trying to figure this out. Anyway, you reduced it to from a assessed value of 437 that the assessor had to 197. And I would get the right number here, 836. Okay, and I said that I would thought the value was even a little more than that, but you guys applied the 7.5%, which was the natural deal that year. And then on the other one, the board did the same thing. I'm not sure it was all under the same board that we got today. But
same price? Yeah, it would have been the same people as you have today.
I don't remember you being here last year.
Maybe I was on that day.
Let me see. It'll say on there.
Yeah, she tells who was there.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, Dick Riley was here.
Okay.
You weren't here.
Okay.
So it was Dan, John, and Dick.
Yeah.
Okay. So did they give you the exact same value on the other one, too? Or did they do something different? On the second one, you gave us the value 197 on the one. What'd they do on the other piece?
They 207.
207. Okay.
Yeah. But anyhow, then, and this is what the, you know, I know we have political processes and stuff, but the thing that I gotta kind of charge out, maybe matter in heck too, you know, is within, after 5 days that I got the letter from you guys, I got a reevaluation on the property that jacked it right back up to where it was.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And then they hit me again in, you know, they just, mm-hmm. they keep after it, and I... Mm-hmm.
What's it gone to in 19? Is it, have you gotten your notice of value for 19?
Yeah.
510.
Yeah.
510.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let me just tell you that without any evidential material, it's hard for us to do anything. You didn't send us anything.
No comps of other properties that...
You didn't send us any comparable properties?
I couldn't get any from the county either.
Well, I mean, we can't verify that those numbers are reasonable that you've given us.
Do you want to show them how you look? Look it up.
If you look, gotta put my glasses back on. If you go to your property in the Property Information Center and you click on this sales search,
mm-hmm.
it's got your lot size,
mm-hmm.
and then you can say submit query right here, and then, well, you only have three. These three sales came up. So this one may sold for $775,000.
Woo! For 5 acres?
And it's got a house on it.
And it's got a house on it.
The only
you got an address on those so I can kind of, yeah.
Got a property ID.
So there's a slight address up there.
487 North 32nd.
Right, and then there's 2361, but that's got a house on it.
Yeah.
Hillhurst.
Yeah, I know where they were at.
Oh, okay.
It's 5 acres with a.
With a
it
house.
Doesn't give you the.
A ranch style house.
It doesn't give you the value. You can go look at the detailed property information on that one. You can find out what, the,
right.
what they valued the land at.
So if you click on that, and then it'll show you.
It's 5 acres, and they.
5 acres with a ranch style home.
Yeah, I know where.
Okay.
One of them's. One of them is part of the property of the old home place.
And they've got, all the value on the land on that. They don't have the building.
See, they wiped out the value of the building and they valued the land only.
And it sold in May of 18 for $500,000.
5 acres.
See, they wiped it out this year, but last year they...
Yeah.
So they dropped it back down.
$200,000 on it. They dropped it from 713 to 5.
So, yeah. Once you have that sale, they'll
that's interesting. Because I know that property pretty well. There's still a house on it.
Yeah, and there's still...
I can even tell you the guy that bought it.
Well, they bought it.
A different developer than no.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still above what they sold, what it sold for.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Okay. So if you're appealing for 19 and you need to bring something in that, to show us, I mean, the other thing, if you're saying that the value you've gotten, a copy of your signed escrow agreement would have helped bring this value down, but we don't have anything. You didn't bring us anything.
Okay. I thought that whatever I presented here was factual enough, but I guess.
So, I mean,
we have to have evidence to show us that a value is.
I took oaths.
I understand that.
You know, I'm old school, guys. That's all I can say. You know, I'm sorry about that tonight.
Do you want to verbally tell us what the escrow amounts are on these two properties?
The escrow amount?
I mean, yeah, what the price you've agreed on. It's not yet, the sale's not complete, but...
Well, that couldn't be adjustable, but what's in escrow that there is $55,000 is in deposit.
No, but how much is the sale price?
It's going to be around... For the two pieces, it's $904,000, I think, on my two.
For the two of them together?
Both pieces.
Yeah,
okay.
For the two of them together. I think it's $904,000 now. I didn't realize I had to bring them. I thought if I just told you that I was trying to be honest about it, you know.
And you signed that in the fall, right?
In
October of 18.
Fall or winter?
October of
18.
18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're
still. I could send all that, but you know, but that's okay. I guess it's. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay.
Okay. We got it.
Thank you much, folks.
All right.
If whatever happens, happens.
Submit your information, all of the details you can for 2019.
Okay. Yeah, because we're going to be.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Right. Okay.
Things go gunny sack again, you know, because everything's psychical.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Close it here.
This is a continuation of September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by Jeffrey and Martine Gibbons. Petition 181-46807 for account number 13707500. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Jeffrey Gibbons in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand and be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. And the assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like your decision.
Understood.
So, unless you have questions, I'm going to say you have a letter that has been provided to them that gives you the number that you requested, which I think is the purchase price.
Purchase price, correct.
Okay, so if you have anything else to say, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Other than that, I would accept the assessor's valuation by purchase price. Just wanted to mention a frustration, and I think you're all aware of this. I've got a second appeal for the next year after that. And talking to the assessor's office, they say programmatically they're just going to bump it up again. So we're going to go through this year after year after year, unless somehow this gets flagged. I don't know if there's a possibility of doing that at all. Doesn't sound like it, but just kind of a waste of everybody's time. Usually, we used to be able to do this by phone.
Well, even to wait until this morning to send you the letter after it's all scheduled and everything, I mean, that's just...
They put everything in their model. Well, they're required by law to do certain things, and their method of valuing property is mass appraisal. And their mass appraisal system is a computerized system, and it's been approved by the state. So they have... They put the criteria in there is based on sales the past year, and then they put your criteria in and measured against that criteria from the sales of the prior year, and that then cranks out a value for your property.
Right.
And we have put every flag we can think of in letters that we send to the assessor's office, and those flags are continually ignored.
Okay.
So,
the assessor, when I talked to her, actually said that those things are really paid attention to.
Yeah, don't take it personally. They do it to every taxpayer.
Yeah.
It's this assessor's policy. Yeah.
The previous assessor did consider our decisions from the prior year. Their method of valuation was a little different than this assessor has, but nonetheless, they did give some consideration to our reports from the prior year.
Yeah, my neighborhood, the summit of Autumn Hills, it's very hard to get real comps up there anyway because everything sells for less than down below as it is. They didn't send any comps on this one. I called and asked for them, and they didn't send any. I actually own the adjacent property, which we got reassessed down to $100,000. So it's kind of frustrating that, you know, this stuff is not taken into account. So anyway, I've taken enough of your time. I do appreciate you being here. But I think I deserve a little bit of a rant.
No, sure.
You're on the record now as expressing yourself.
So. I do appreciate that.
Great. Fine. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. Can I just sign this letter and save you guys a chance?
This is his?
Mm-hmm. He can. Once you sign it, I'll have Michelle get us a copy.
Okay. And the big box I accept.
This is saved, yep.
And then
sign it. Okay. And I'll get you a copy of that.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks again for doing this. Somebody has to do it.
Close here.
This is a continuation of the September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have several late filings to consider this morning. First one is a good cause request for Parveen Adele. She didn't put her tax parcel number. So the address is 21011 Northwest 17th Court, Ridgefield, Washington, 98642. Cameron and I were unable to file the petition by the deadline because we purchased the home after the tax notice was sent to the residents. Tax value does not reflect the purchase price. It needs to be adjusted to reflect the sale amount. Meets the criteria.
Yep.
Okay. Next we have Muhammad Hassan, request for reconvene. He states he did not receive his notice of value in the mail and he was unable to file the petition.
Receive it.
Receive it.
Okay. Three Creeps Investors LLC. This is for tax parcel 181901000. This is the interesting one. It's technically it's 23 cases. It's Lance Killian. And Three Creeks Investors is a business and was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because the person employed by the business responsible for the receipt and initial dealing with the property taxes was unavailable due to an unavoidable absence and was out for the majority of the summer 2019. And it actually does, one of the criteria is the taxpayer is a business and was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because the person employed by the business responsible for dealing with property taxes when it was unavailable due to illness or unavoidable absence.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
So it's one of the reasons I saw it and went, no, but when I read it, I went, wow.
Okey-dokey.
I've become jaded over the years.
Oh.
Okay, so next we have John and Tiffany Blakey. This is account 185689042. County currently has the assessed value at $637,718. We bought the property that the value would be close to our value. The appraisal max value was $560,000. Gross value difference resulting in higher taxes without correction. Basically, they bought it after July 1st and for less than 90% of the assessed value.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we have a good cause filing for Ann Hoy and Jack Nelson. The address is 38210 Northeast Rosemary Drive. The president, so I'm assuming they're talking about a HOA or something. President was out of town on extended personal leave and was unavailable to meet the treasurer for expediting paperwork. Attached are better comps. Okay, well, if he was away and he's the person that does it.
Is this a homeowners association?
Yes. It is Wildwood Way Estates.
And what are they getting taxed on?
Please find enclosed the late appeal form and comparison properties for the above referenced property. If you have any questions, call Jack Nelson, treasurer, Wildwood Way Estates, and they have comparable sales.
I think so. Yeah.
Washougal River. They're parcels.
Don't cover the machine.
Oh, they're parcels of property. They're bare land, so it's probably a area that there are some houses, and then others are just land still. But it's all part of the HOA.
Really?
Sounds like a good reason to me.
Okay.
Last one. I'll get this stuff mixed up. Last one is for Mary Jo Newton. Tax parcel 1931170000. I was unable to file the petition in a timely manner as my 92-year-old father, Joseph, was sick during the month of June. He was admitted to Peace Health Hospital two different times. I'm his only daughter, primary caregiver. She didn't catch that she got the notice. In the confusion of my father's illness, the property tax petition was forgotten. He has stabilized this month, and I've had to catch up on my paperwork, and I was surprised when the petition date had passed.
So she had serious,
serious illness in the family. Okay, and that's it. Thank you.
All right.
This is a continuation of September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board, at this point, is property owned by Edmund and Kimberly Murrell. Petition 18090301 for account number 13438800. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Edward Murrell in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm? Excuse me. The testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this court as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Sure. I believe what I wrote on my appeal was that there were some things incorrect, and the house needs a fair amount of work to be done to it before it can achieve the price that was projected by, you know, the assessment computer program that was used. Where's trying to find out. What, where am I? Yeah, let's see where it is in here. What I said, the description of my site and land, is it accurate in an appraisal to description of my house and outbuildings, or incorrect in appraisal, and no deductions were made for home age and many repairs required for all buildings. So, as far as the description of my site, it says that it's down that I have a few lot of the river, which I don't. Not now. It might have been 20 years ago before the trees grew up, but it doesn't now. So that's inaccurate. It says that I have I'm on a paved street. Well, I'm not on a paved street. I have pavement in front of my house. That's private pavement. I'm a half a mile of gravel road from my house to Gibson Road that I have to maintain, and I have to maintain all of that. It's not paved city street, so that's wrong. And it also says that, like, I have vinyl windows in the house. I don't have aluminum windows in my house. And it basically, you know, compares my houses with most houses that are a lot newer than my house. For comparables, the one that it gave that was about 8 years older than my house is a lot less value than what they gave my house. My house has not been, it was actually built in 63, and it got brick on it in 65. So it has it down for 65. So those are, you know, those are basic things that it has inaccurate on just the land itself. I mean, it takes a lot of work to maintain a half a mile of gravel road, and not very many people are going to want to be doing that. So that you know, that's not the same. And it says as far as the house goes, it needs a lot of updating to bring the price they were talking about. I have an estimate of few of the things that it needs. And when I called up planning and zoning, or got a call from them, they didn't want me to get estimates for the rest of it, because I think they're saying, well, we don't want people coming over to your house with making estimates and not doing the work. But you know, that's what I got. But I can tell you that the prices there were mid-range to low for the projects, because I got a number of bids for re-roofing the house, which it needs. I got prices from 49.5 and 44.5 down to the price that's on this sheet, which is 22,852, and that doesn't include the gutters, which would be an additional $4,000. And then the rail pump has never been replaced since like 78. And it still has original galvanized pipe going from the rail to the house. We have a lot of iron in our water, so that needs to be replaced. And it needs to have, because we have a lot of water, iron in our water, we need a water filter, and it has. And iron is kind of spendy, I'm finding out, to take care out of the water. So the place that I called that for the rail pump said that, and they came over and tested the water. You know, they said the water filter system, in-house water filter system, is, you know, $6,000. The rail pump and power line replacement is, total, if that would be $13,000. I mean, you know, things keep adding up. This right here doesn't, you know, the house has old panel walls on it. I mean, you know, the dark panel, which was very popular in 65, because we were probably all, you know, around that era, very, you know, but that's not what people want to see these days. So
did you get this from the assessor?
You're holding up the wrong thing.
No, this thing. All right. This is from the assessor.
Here, she show you got a clean copy.
Yeah, here, you want to look at this. Yeah. The assessor says that they sent that to you, and they were recommending lowering the price to
$677.
And that, and if you read the back of that, it says that they have lowered the rating of it from average plus to average, which reduces the value, and then they've given you allowance for dry rot removal and for the repiping to get that down to that 677.
Yeah, but they have, and I've spoken to them about it, that about the discrepancy in the land, how about the outbuildings they have, where they said it was built in 65. I have two of them. One outbuilding was built in 65 as a green barn, but two of the others were built way before that, and they're going to have to be torn down.
Well, they went on further to say that they have removed two of those buildings from your value.
Well, just removing them doesn't get rid of them. It's going to cost me money.
No, I understand that. They've removed any value for them, so they're valueless as far as they're concerned.
Well, they might be valueless for as far as they're concerned, but it's going to cost me money.
You didn't provide any information as to how much that's going to cost you. I mean, you need to provide documentation as to how much it costs you to do that.
Well, that means I have to go out and get bids.
Right.
And that's the thing they did not want me to do.
Why?
I don't know why. You have to ask the lady that I spoke with.
Well, they probably just didn't want you to go to the bother. They were just going to take them off, period. But if you want additional allowance, you have to get bids to prove that it's going to cost you something to take them off.
Well,
just like you did these.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could easily have done that if she had, you know, except she told me not to. And I mean, this is a building that's like 50 by 45,
right.
Old wooden building that rotted out on one side of the foundation, and the concrete pier that the other side is on had eroded away, so it's fallen down, so you can't.
Well, no, I'm not arguing the fact that they're worthless. They've taken them off.
But
I mean, you have to estimate, get an estimate of how much it costs to remove them.
Well.
Need to give him a copy of that.
So how did you end up with that 5 acres in the middle? I mean, who owns the stuff on either side?
When I bought it, or when the appraisal was made, or currently?
Yeah, I mean, well, it just looks odd that that's that 5 acre piece out there and this other great big one all the way around it. You know, who owns this on the other side of you?
Okay. When I bought it, it was a private individual. It was the guy who lives here.
Is that part of the gorge stuff now?
When I bought the place in 2013 and up until like January, February of this year, those people owned it. And then it got transferred to the Friends of the Gorge, and then it got transferred from the Friends of the Gorge to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay.
So.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, so do I.
I don't have any other questions on it.
Mm-hmm. I think we have the picture.
Okay.
Okay, close the hearing.
Okay. This is a continuation of the September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board is property owned by Gregory and Margaret Schmier. Petition 18125401 for account 110184424. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close here.
This is the September 16th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board, board members present, we've got Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. First case before the board this morning is property owned by Janet Septi. Petition 18069401 for account number 118254980. There's no one in attendance for the assessor. We have Janet Septi in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right. So the house is beautiful, but it has issues. And to sell it for what the $730,000, it would never happen in the condition it's in. And I'm not sure it would happen if it was pristine.
This is your house right here. This is 42nd. This is a picture that the assessor sent.
Okay, yes. And I'm going to say this house right here, I know this is now. This house is on the market. It went in the market in July 1st, 2nd, something like that. At $700,000, it's a one-owner home. It's custom. It's the closest comparable out of all the ones that I could find because these were all custom-built and done at that time. They have everything updated, and they have reduced the price to $675,000. And it's like the same land mount, it's slightly less.
So this is your house up here with the blue around it, or green?
Yes.
Where's the other house? Is it the one with the bigger lot right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one she pointed to.
Well, it's at 128, so no, I'm sorry.
128?
It's that one.
Okay.
And God knows what they'll actually sell it for. But I know they have done every single thing they could do to it, to update it and whatever. And I told you, but when I was here last, I just cannot call up all these contractors and have them come when I don't have the money to have things fixed. I would pay the taxes first because I can't waste their time, and that's how they make their living. And there's so much deferred maintenance. This house is, I'm the fifth owner, and it's like nobody's been there more than 5 years, so you know, it's like they get to a point and then move on. I'm pretty sure it's original carpets. I'm thinking, you know, there's some a lot of gashes in the window, and it was, or in the walls from the paint. It was someone built this house to grow old in, so there's wide doors, and you can see where wheelchairs or walkers have hit. And so I think it might have been painted somewhere along the line, but I'm, because of those, but the colors are all right in the 20-year-ago, so I'm not positive that it's ever really actually been painted. That might be over the drywalls and stuff.
the big thing that would cost the most money is the poured-in-place concrete floor. It's the kitchen, the eating kitchen. There's a nook area, which is an office. The powder room and the laundry room are all of that. So I didn't even know what it was made of. I did a lot of things to even find out what it was. That I was told you have to, because of the date of it, you have to chip this stuff out. It's about a quarter inch thick, and the floor kind of comes in, so you need a new subfloor, and then whatever surface you're actually going to put in it. And what's happening is this kitchen is settling, you know, so that's where the crack, all the way across it, goes. And then, of course, it would need something different there. The sprinkler system.
The property information sheet.
The sprinklers don't work. I mean, you can go out to the street and turn it on, and part, like half of the sprinklers go on. But I don't know what it costs to repair that. This wall in the front. A realtor told me that this is some kind of stone that just fractures, and I don't know if it'll hold. I mean, it's holding up the yard now. This is an old picture because those trees are all huge. But so I don't, you know, I'm just ignorant on things and costs. But that wall, and then the retaining wall around the house is stucco, and it's all. There was lots of pictures of those. It's the paint's off and the stucco's off. It's in a good location for stucco. There's three decks in the back. One of them is absolutely dilapidated. The sun's eating it is what's happening there.
Do you live in the house?
No.
Is it rented or?
Yeah. And I got it because the elder care and my dad were, we were living in Portland in the family home. I was taking care of him. And, like, deferred maintenance doesn't even cover that house. And so, like, there's a hole in the roof and there's, I mean, literally into the family room. It was, could be closed off and...
So I was, this house with a hole in it?
No. I was taking care of my dad, who was 95, you know, and we had to leave that house. And so I had a threeplex. I sold it to get him there and out of there. And in the time when we went and looked at it, at 95, he walked in that there, looked around, and, can you handle this? And, yeah, let's move. Takes a long time to buy the house, blah, blah, blah. And by the time he got there, he had been in a home for, nursing home for, I don't know, 2 months. And so he only made it for less than a month. But he made it there. But the wide doors, everything was set up for elder care, for my dad. I'm thinking I want to grow old there. But right now I'm working. I work in Portland. I have a manageable house that, you know, I can't do this, all that, with work and my other obligations.
You know, you can go online and get bids for repairs, and then you don't have to call contractors.
Like Home Depot or Lowe's or... Yeah,
you just go online and plug in, I need new carpeting, and you know what I mean? And you can submit those bids.
I'm such a computer illiterate person. I can't even operate my phone. I can check the weather and I can make phone calls.
Okay, well, it was
I can text, but thank you. I didn't really even.
Yeah, you can.
And it never even occurred to me.
And if you feel, again, you want to put the information on the home this home should be here. I think this is all comps, right?
compare. Just one, two, three, four.
Yeah. So this first column is for you to put the information in on the subject home, which is the home you're talking about.
Okay.
Then we have something that we can compare back and forth.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have a feeling we'll be doing this again. So for next year, just make sure you put your home in this first, and then put your comps over here, and then we can compare.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And you copied all these off to get them, or you had a realtor, it looks like.
Yeah.
Copy them off for you and gave you comparable properties to submit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason that this one, the one in the neighborhood, is because when I got a letter back, they said something about, like, these are inferior built. So, you know, I get that. This is a custom home. Those ones, I don't know if they are, but that one I know was, and it's.
But that one hasn't sold yet, so.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Nope.
I don't have any questions.
No. I think we got it.
Okay.
Okay. They'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Thank you.